We are starting the study of Jeremiah. We haven't studied one of the prophets in quite a while. It is a rather lengthy book. I don't know that we'll go over every verse of every chapter, but we're certainly going to try and learn some of the lessons that Jeremiah learned himself and some of the lessons that he taught to those children of God. And I'll talk a lot about here at the beginning about kind of the introduction, because chapter 1 of Jeremiah is like the introduction to the whole book. And it kind of gives the basis to the book, why it was written, and to whom it was written, the importance of it. So that's what we kind of want to look at today, is why it was written, because that's going to help us understand the lessons that Jeremiah is going to tell us. The first two verses give us a time frame. So Jeremiah 1:1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So that's how it starts. Josiah, of course, was a king of Judah. He reigned from 640 B.C. to 609 B.C. So if Jeremiah started in the 13th year, that means Jeremiah started prophesying about 627 B.C. And if we go to the end of the book, we see that Jeremiah prophesied for a little over 40 years. So he had a long ministry. Had a very long ministry. Over 40 years that he prophesied to God's people. And, of course, some of his prophecies we'll see were also prophecies about other nations, not just God's people. During those 40 years, there were four other prophets who were also prophesying at the same time. Daniel and Ezekiel also prophesied during the same time Jeremiah did. Two of the minor prophets, Zephaniah and Habakkuk, also prophesied during this time. So there were five different prophets prophesying, working during this time period. When Jeremiah starts to prophesy, the northern kingdom of Israel had pretty well been gone. There wasn't really anything left of them. Assyria had pretty well destroyed them, as had been prophesied. So the only ones left was the southern tribe, or southern kingdom of Judah. And to get a really good idea of the time of what in which Jeremiah was prophesying, we're going to go back a little bit and look about Josiah and a couple of things that he did. This is back in 2 Chronicles 34. 2 Chronicles 34. And we're going to read verses 3 through 5 of 2 Chronicles 34. So Josiah has started to reign. Verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 34 says, "For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them he cut down, and the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images he broke in pieces, and made dust of them, and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem." So this was what Josiah did as a very young man. He was like 20 years old when he started to really tear down these idols and these carved images and do all of that. So he was trying to reform God's people. He was trying to reform Judah. And he thought one of the best ways to do this was to get rid of all the idols and carved images. So that was what was happening. Also, when he was 26 years old, he began to repair the temple of Jehovah, because it had been in disrepair. This is when he sent his scribe Shaphan to the high priest. He collected funds to rebuild the temple, and it was then that the law was found in the temple. Josiah, when they found it, he took it and he read it to the people. Had the Passover, which they hadn't been observing, and was trying to reform Judah. But it didn't work very well. It didn't work very well at all. Because Josiah's grandfather was one of the worst kings ever, and that was Manasseh. So if we go to 2 Kings 23, we read about Manasseh, and especially one verse, 2 Kings 23, verse 26. 2 Kings 23, verse 26 says, "Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath with which his anger was aroused against Judah because of all the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him." So the Lord's anger was still hot against Judah because of all the sins of Josiah's grandfather Manasseh. So even though Josiah was trying to reform the people by getting rid of all the idols and so forth, Manasseh's the evil that Manasseh had done was so terrible that God was still going to punish Judah. So Josiah was doing what he could, but it didn't take away the fact that God's anger was so fierce that he was going to still punish Judah. Manasseh, if you remember the story, did repent, but it was too late. I mean, the damage was so great that there wasn't anything to do besides punish Judah and send them into captivity. And of course, that's exactly what was going to happen. Because God knew the only way he was going to get idolatry out of his people was to have them persecuted and made captives in Babylon. And so even though Josiah was trying to do the best he could, that's exactly what was going to happen. All right. So some of the events that happened in 640 BC is when Josiah started to try and reform the people. The next king was Jehoahaz, who only reigned for 3 months. So these were all the kings during Jeremiah's time. Josiah was the first king. The next one was Jehoahaz, who only reigned for 3 months. Then Jehoiakim, who reigned for 11 years. And then Jehoiakim, who only reigned for 3 months. Then Zedekiah. And that was really the last king of Judah. So there were five different kings that Jeremiah worked with, prophesied about during his 40 plus years. Of course, Josiah was killed by the Egyptian Pharaoh king Necho, who came to war, and Josiah was kind of a byproduct of that war. A little bit more, when we read Jeremiah, as we're going to over the next several months, it's not written in strictly chronological order. So that kind of can throw us off a little bit. The first chapter is an introduction. Chapters 2 through 25 mainly are prophecies down to the year 605 BC about Judah. Then, chapters 26 through 45 are basically material after 605 BC, but not all. Sometimes Jeremiah will put in material that may have happened a lot later or a lot earlier. And so you have to be kind of aware of that. Then chapters 46 through 51 are prophecies against foreign nations. And then the last chapter, 52, basically shows how those prophecies were fulfilled. If there's a theme to Jeremiah, it's probably found in chapter 10, verse 23. Chapter 10, verse 23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. And throughout the book of Jeremiah, we see how this played out. How different kings and different people thought they knew the best way, but they didn't. And Jeremiah spends most of his 40 years trying to get people to understand that. And unfortunately, many of them never do. Judah thought they were immune from God's wrath. You know, they didn't think they would ever be taken into captivity. They certainly didn't think they'd be taken to Babylon. So they thought that they were immune. But Jeremiah told them over and over and over again that you are going into captivity. You're going to be slaves in Babylon. Most of them did not listen. In Jeremiah chapter 4, for instance, Jeremiah tells the people of Judah this in verse 22. For my people are foolish, they have not known me, they are silly children, and they have no understanding. They're wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge.
They were stiff-necked people.
Oh my, they were so, that's a great way to describe them. Because Jeremiah over and over and over again tried to get them to see this. But like Jeremiah says, they're silly children. They're foolish. They don't pay attention. They don't listen to me. And that's exactly what he was trying to say. They didn't listen to God's ways. They tried to figure out their own ways. And of course, that's why they ended up going into captivity. They would listen to everybody but God. Jeremiah, if you remember, is characterized as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah, when you look at all the prophets in the Old Testament, probably was one of the saddest of the prophets. Not too many good things happened to Jeremiah as we're going to look at his 40-plus year career. I mean, he just had very little what we would call success. I mean, he was doing what God told him, and so he would be blessed because of that. But as far as what he was doing and how he was treated terribly during his 40-plus years. And he was constantly in sorrow. He was constantly weeping and crying because the people wouldn't listen to him. They kept going in exactly the opposite direction. They wouldn't pay attention. And it just tore him up day after day after day. And throughout the book, we see how badly Jeremiah was treated. The things people did to him, his own people did to him. And how he had to suffer for simply doing what God told him to do. There were times when Jeremiah got terribly depressed. He didn't want to go on. He just wanted to stop and go hide. And then he would realize how important it was that he kept on prophesying and teaching the people. Jesus was seen as a modern-day Jeremiah. Yes?
He had really strong faith in God, for sure.
Oh, my. Absolutely.
He had no support whatsoever. He despised and persecuted. Yeah. People, as you say,
yes. Yes.
Yeah. Most people would have.
Amen to that. Yes.
Well, in fact, Jesus quotes Jeremiah a couple of times.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Simply calls him Jeremy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he does. And Jesus did a lot of the same things Jeremiah did. You know, Jeremiah would expose people's sins, the God's people's sins, you know, and tell them about their idolatry and their lack of following God and the consequences. And of course, Jesus did some of the very same thing. And so when we look at a lot of these accounts, we're going to see Jeremiah and, you know, the things he had to, we might say, deal with. And it didn't take too long for that to happen. So let's go back to Jeremiah 1 then. And let's start with where Jeremiah is called, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." So this is his call by God to be a prophet. He was born, and you know, it says he was from Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Well, that's just a few miles outside of Jerusalem, and so he spent most of his time as far as prophesying there in and around Jerusalem. Now, part of the time he was taken off, but most of the time it was right around Jerusalem. And God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." He knew, you know, before Jeremiah was ever born, he knew the strengths Jeremiah would have, his abilities, his weaknesses. He knew all of that. He knew everything about Jeremiah before Jeremiah was ever even born, let alone called to be a prophet. And of course, he knows that about us too. He knows our abilities and our strengths and weaknesses. He knows all of that about us better than we know ourselves. He says, "Before you were born, I sanctified you," or "I set you apart, I appointed you." So God had a special purpose here for Jeremiah. I mean, it was providentially planned what Jeremiah was going to do while he was in the womb. And that, of course, was going to be a prophet of Judah. So he was set apart, or he was sanctified for this particular reason. So he was ordained, appointed to be a prophet to the nations. And of course, this came directly from God. This was God's divine purpose to make Jeremiah a prophet. Well, Jeremiah had his own ideas about that. "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." So this was his first response. And Jeremiah was very young at this time. I mean, we don't know exactly. He says, "For I'm a youth." That word in Hebrew is rather has a broad meaning. I mean, it can mean someone as young as like 10, or it can go up into someone in their 30s. So we don't know exactly how old he was. But he was apparently young, and he says, "I cannot speak. I'm too young to be a prophet." No doubt Jeremiah knew other prophets. And he knew the history of God's people and prophets in the past. And so he says, "I'm just too young." Remember, Moses kind of had this attitude as well. When God wanted Moses to lead the people and so forth, Moses said that, you know, I'm not a good speaker. I don't have a good tongue, as Moses said. And that's kind of what Jeremiah is saying. You know, I just can't do it. I'm too young. But God said, "Do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." He's trying to get Jeremiah to understand, Jeremiah, you don't have to come up with these words yourself. I'm going to be directing what you have to say. And of course, that's the mark of a true prophet. God was going to tell him what he needed to say, what he needed to speak. So, just like the apostles in the New Testament, when they were inspired, it was the Holy Spirit, it was God speaking through them. Same way with Jeremiah. So God was trying to ease the fear that Jeremiah was having. He says, "I'm going to be telling you what to say, And I'm going to, you might say, be behind you. So he said, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Now Jeremiah was going to have to go through an awful lot. He was going to be persecuted by so many people in so many ways and in so many places. But God said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm going to deliver you. He said, you know, I've got this plan for you. You know, you're going to have this 40 plus year of prophesying and teaching. And he said, I'm going to be with you to deliver you because you're going to do something for me that needs to be done. So I'm going to be with you. So he says, you know, don't be afraid of them. He goes on and says, the Lord poured forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. That's what he's going to be doing. Jeremiah's message was going to be primarily negative, pessimistic, whatever other word you might want to throw in there. His message was not going to be very positive and uplifting at all. So that's why God says, I put my words in your mouth and I have set you over the nations and the kingdom. In other words, God says, I'm the one that is doing this for you. I'm the one that's telling you to do this. I'm the one giving you authority to do this. And he says there's six things you're going to do. Root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, build, and to plant. Notice out of those six, four of them are negative. So Jeremiah is going to speak God's word. He's going to have God's authority. And what he's going to tell the people will have both a negative emphasis and a positive emphasis. The negative, of course, was because of your idolatry, because of your sins, because of what you have done, you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. It's inevitable. But if you learn your lesson, God is going to bring you out of it. And that's his message. So to do that, the first thing he had to do was to get rid of the old ways. He was going to try and root out the sins of God's people. To pull them down, to destroy them, to throw them down. Just like if you've got a field with a lot of weeds and old stumps and stuff, before you can plant anything, you got to go in there and get out all the weeds and all the old grass and all the old stumps and get all of that out first before you can start to plant and to build up. And that's what he had to do with God's people. He had to root out all their sinful ways, their idolatry, their immorality. He had to go in and root that out and destroy it before he could build and plant something new. And of course, that's exactly what he was going to have to do. If we turn over to a couple of instances, Jeremiah 23... and this is where we'll end today. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Here's one instance. He says in verse 29, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? He says, see, that's what my word has to do. It's got to burn out the weeds. It's got to break in pieces what's bad, to root it out. Then over in chapter 31, verse 28, he says, and it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. So after the breaking down, the throwing down, the destroying, the afflicting, then God says, I will build and plant. And so that was what Jeremiah was going to do for over 40 years. Most of it was going to be tearing down, destroying, burning out, but then there would be the planting and the building up. And that's what we're going to see in these chapters. That's exactly what Jeremiah is going to do. So let's stop there, and Lord willing, we'll start with verse 11, where God shows Jeremiah that he's going to be with Jeremiah.